Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Senior Operations Manager at CRA Resources. Today, we are sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and special guest Lyle G. Lyle is President and Founder of G Farm Consulting, Inc. Before we get started, make sure to visit creresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts. You can also sign up there to get this content delivered to your inbox. And I'll turn it over to Angela, and she can give us more details on our topic today.
Well, I am super excited to have Lyle here. Always am. Love having you, Lyle. Thank you so much for to being here early, your time. But we actually just dropped a podcast with Lyle where we were talking about job search strategies because the old job search strategies no longer work. So we're calling this part two of our podcast. We're going to call it a series because I guess, you know, two bullet points on a map now make a series. But
that makes a line, right? That's how you make a line. You only need two data points.
So today we're going to dive a little deeper into how job seekers at every experience level can better communicate their skills and experiences to stand out. And I think this is important because the market has just been flooded with highly experienced candidates because not only are we living in an employer-driven market, but we've had all these issues with the economy. So companies are becoming deceased, they're becoming acquired, they're merging. And so the top-heavy part, all of the management that now no longer need to exist because the other company that acquired them or merged with them had management, all these individuals are flooding the market. And what I find is that these more experienced individuals are really facing a lot of challenges, not just because the old job search strategies no longer work, but now they're trying to figure out how to adapt and compete with the younger individuals who might be more flexible, might be a little more enthusiastic, and definitely a lot cheaper. So I thought we could kind of tackle that because we've got senior level and more junior level, and it's almost like our middle class is missing in a way, but they're competing with each other. I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
That entirely jives with my experience, Angela. It's absolutely, as you're looking at folks coming into the market, 20 plus years experience, not at all uncommon. So there's a whole chunk of these people, myself included, that, you know, so there's a little personal insight here, a little personal effect here too. But there's that group of people, and these are people who have had stable jobs for many years.
Right.
These are people who have maybe they've moved mm-hmm. two or three times over the span of their career. They're not nearly as comfortable with kind of the job hopping to escalate themselves as you would see with different, you know, different kind of tiers or generations of folks. So yeah, I absolutely think there's a ton of these folks in the market, and I can speak personally in this, right? I was this person for a while. That flexibility, maintaining and being able to show flexibility, is a very important characteristic, and I think it is one that is easy to lose as you are in a stable when you're in a stable position for a number of years. You know, so as a consultant, every job is the new job. So there, you know, it kind of forces a level of flexibility, but a lot of the candidates and a lot of the people that I'm friends with, colleagues with, know of in the industry, yeah, struggle to show that flexibility. How do you show that you've been current on trends? How do you show that you can come in, that a new organization can take a chance on you that maybe didn't run things exactly the way you used to run them, right?
I agree.
I see that so many times. And is that, I don't know if that's consistent with your experience, Angela, in kind of these, I don't want to say older, but whatever, older, more experienced, whatever nice term we're using for folks who've been in the industry for a long time, right? Do you see a similar kind of rigidity set in commonly?
I do. And I think we should define flexibility, because what flexibility isn't is the I'll take anything attitude, right?
Yep.
That isn't what flexibility is. And we do see that a lot, to where you're more tenured individuals are able and willing to step back into a more junior role, not because they're passionate about the junior role, but because they just need to make their mortgage payment. And my heart goes out to these individuals, and I would love to give everybody a job. Don't get me wrong. Not only would I make a lot of money, but everybody else would be very happy. But but there is a difference in being flexible and being willing to settle and being desperate.
Yeah.
And people hate it when I use that desperate term, but let's just face it. Sometimes you get that way, right?
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
We don't work for free.
Yeah, people, exactly.
You know, things cost money.
Yeah, exactly. but your point is a very valid one. Rigidity is a big problem, isn't it? And and if you are one of those experienced individuals that never had to worry about finding a job, the jobs found you, or you were promoted from within consistently within your organization, and so it was always, you know, super simple. Yeah. That is not today's market. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't interview someone today and get them placed tomorrow. We do. We do that all the time. But it's not what I'm seeing as the norm. And what I do see from a rigidity standpoint is, and I've had this, you know, a client will say, okay, well, we've got our interview process is 4 interviews. You've got you're going to interview with the HR person and then the ops manager. And then there's going to be a panel. And if that goes well, then you're going to talk to a director or VP. And I've had candidates say, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like,
really?
Okay. Mm-hmm. They need to pick me with the first interview or I'm off. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm not putting you in front of them if you're not okay with this, because this is not, you know. And I think what happens is candidates think, you know, they forget the job market, the job application, the job position. It's not about them as a candidate. It's about the company.
That's right.
Because the companies have a need, and that's the reason why that stupid job is open to begin with, and you just want to be invited to the party.
Yes. That is such a good – okay, so that touches on 2 things, I think, right? One is ego.
Yeah.
Okay? And that might not be the right term, but, you know, pride, ego, however we want to communicate this point, right? Well, I've been doing this for so long. Why can't people just see my value? That's not how stuff works, man. That is not how stuff works. Not ever. I don't know that it ever was, honestly, but certainly not now, right? Certainly not now. So if you're an older candidate, a more experienced candidate, step one, put that ego in a frickin' box, dude, because you are going to have to be going up against a lot of folks. And depending on the level of the position, it may be like, oh, I did this 10 years ago. Doesn't matter. We all have pride. We all have professional pride. I think that's something that we carry. It kind of helps us do well in our jobs, right? We have pride in our work. We care about our work. The kind of shadow side or the backside to that is, right, we also have pride in where we are in our careers. And so, I'm sorry, right, as a hiring manager or as someone who's looking at potential candidates, the one that's like, well, you know, I'm too big for this job, but I'm going to take it anyway just to do y'all a favor. I'm like, get out of my office. Get the hell out. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want any of your business. So the second one about rigidity versus flexibility, right, which is to me one way that I can tell a candidate is, or just for example, a candidate or a person is pretty rigid. Like, what do you think about this process? What do you think about this other process? Well, we did this one way at my old company. I don't care. Right. Or to be a dick about it. But I care in so much as that you can show me skill in a process. But what I don't care about is how your process is the only way to do things, you know, and I see that as in a number of more experienced candidates coming in, you know, which I think part of it is their comfort, you know, like, hey, we did this thing this way and we got real good at it. That's lovely. Right. But are you open to the possibility that there's another way to do the thing? Right. And the candidates are often like, no, this is the way. This is the only way. And I'm like, you're not going to work here.
No, I agree with that. And I think that for candidates that are listening, maybe they don't even know that they do this. I think if you're coming from a company and you've been somewhere for a minute, and so maybe you created the process or you fine tuned it and you know it works really well. I think one of the things that everyone needs to understand is, even though there's the term best practices, that is a flawed term. It's better practices, because there's always a better way to do things. And what I look for individuals that have a lot of tenure, because I call the ones that have a lot of tenure that aren't flexible my 25-year vet housekeeper that won't do windows, right? So, or they won't dust down the baseboards, or, you know, they have their list of things they just don't do. Okay, well, I need you to clean my windows, so you're not going to be my gal. But that's kind of the point of it. And what I would look for with the vets, the experienced, is for that individual to express the enthusiasm that we have some really great processes and we continued to improve them over the year. Continual improvement, nirvana, an application standpoint.
Yep.
And I am so looking forward to seeing how you do it, because I bet you I can bring something to the table and then learn something from you at the same time.
Perfect. That, and like, I hope everyone listening to this podcast writes that down, what Angela just said. I'm serious, right? Get it tattooed on your bodies, put it on your mirror in the morning, right? Because that is exactly, exactly the energy and exactly the impression that I would. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, why do you want to hire an old salty person like Lyle? Because I've been doing this for 25 years or more, 26 now, and I've seen a bunch of ways to do stuff. So I have a huge library of best practices, right? Let me come to your team and help. You know, and
see,
like,
what you're doing, see what works, see what doesn't. Right. Let's marry yeah. the two. You
That's
know?
Right. You know, yeah. take this experience that I bring in, take the experienced person. What do they have to offer and marry it into your current, right? Make a better thing. Yeah. No, Angela, yeah. that is exactly the energy that I would want to see from someone in that position. And honestly, as a hiring manager, I'm all over that, man. I'm eating that up with a spoon.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We've got clients that we've worked with recently, especially for perm positions, where they want that moldability. They're actually nervous to bring on folks with too much experience. They ask us, you know, we need at least this amount of experience, but we don't want a whole lot more because those people are more easily trained. They're right. more easily molded to our culture, to our systems, you know, whatever it is, they're more up for learning and opening their mind. And that's really key. So we hear that straight from the clients we work with.
Yeah. And that's such a good point. So I think that as a more experienced person coming in, that's what you got to fight against, right?
Well,
That's what you need to show. You need to prove that you're going to be moldable. You need to prove that you're going to take, yes, you have a lot of experience, but you're not going to be held. You're not trapped by that experience, right? That you're open to new opportunities, open to new ways of doing things, but you're just going to add your seasoning potentially into that to make it better.
Agreed. And some people might say, okay, well, now you're having a discussion about ageism. Maybe. Yeah. You know, but that's kind of up to you and how you represent your resume, because most interviews nowadays, I mean, the first qualification part of the process is usually through email. And then whenever you do have a video call, I mean, age is just a number. I mean, it really is about how you present yourself and how flexible you are on the phone. And I know whenever we represent the candidates that to the clients that Becky's talking about, to where they're saying our sweet spot is between, you know, 3.5 to 4 years to 10. And, you know, so if I give them somebody with 12 or 15, I talk about how flexible they are and the fact that they drive process improvements or whatever. But it's up to you, candidates that are listening, to represent that on the telephone. And if you've been at company ABC for the last 10 years, you've got to come up with ways to express that you've done that within the company, that you've helped to drive process innovation. You've changed tool sets. You've improved this, that, or the other. You didn't like that EDC program because it didn't do this, so you went out and researched new ones or whatever it is. But you got to have those examples ready to show that you've got that mindset of things can get better. They can always get better. Better practices is a more real thing than better. Best practice. And now we're back to transferable skills, which is soft skills. And that's where it is. Regardless of whether you're an experienced individual or a youngin, the transferable skills are your soft skills and how you can articulate your enthusiasm and your energy and your desire to learn, and your desire to contribute, and all of those types of things during the entire process.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's awesome. So I think we've talked about kind of the experienced folks coming in and how that's impacting market there. Now, the opposite also true, right? Right. So the other side of that, which is the very inexperienced or the new people. You're like, man, there's all these old crusty vets coming into the market, right? Me as a new person with a couple, 2-3 years experience, or maybe even less, right? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get a leg up, right, in this marketplace?
I still think it's soft skills.
Yeah,
I really do. And I think that the more junior individuals undersell themselves because they don't have all of these different therapeutics or all of these different whatevers. And I think that's a shame because I did a coaching session on this, and they were actually older and crustier people. There were some younger folks on the call too, but there was one gal and her question was perfect. She does a lot of volunteer work, and she volunteers for Big Brother, Big Sister. As a big brother, big sister. And she's like, how do I relate that to the market? And I'm like, that's easy. It's your soft skill. It's your leadership. It's your motivation. It's your this, your that, the other. I mean, you know, you're going to need those skills wherever you go. And that's what you sell.
Yeah.
And you sell the enthusiasm of learning. And by the way, and this one's a big one, because this is one of Angela's pet peeves. I am not interested in hiring you for you to open up your brain and expecting me to pour knowledge into it. I am expecting to hire you so that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go do the flipping work. You right. go learn. You go do the due diligence. You pick up the books. You go do the internet searches. You go do the coursework or the inner work or the whatever kind of work you've got to do. I will guide you and coach you, but it's not my job to feed you. And that. I think a lot of youngins, especially, and I don't want to make the Generation X mad at me, but I think there's a lot of folks that say, I'm here to learn. What are you going to teach me today?
I'm an empty vessel. Fill me up. You're like, that's not how this works, man.
That's not the way it works.
Especially in a contract position.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, that's very interesting, Angela. And that's again, to me, that shows motivation. So a person who's young and just is kind of passive or inert, right? Be like, tell me what to do. Fill me up with knowledge. I'm here. I exist. I'm the best. Sorry, special snowflake, right? You're one of about a million, right? You know, that's right. Truth hurts. And I get it. I'm a Gen X, you know, crusty old guy. But I do think there's very much a difference in attitude between a person who is passive, right, and wants to be filled, versus a person who is active and engaged. And yes,
going after it.
If you want direction, right, for that crazy youth energy, dude, I love that stuff, right? I can't tell you. Working with young folks gives me a surge of joy because they are like, what about this thing? What about this thing? What about this thing? I love that. I love that because, you know, back to flexibility, back to learning soft skills, right? It kind of shakes you a little bit, right? I have to then justify. Why do we do a process this way, Lyle? You know, love this it. Doesn't make sense to me.
They're curious.
They're curious, mm-hmm. man. I need to be able to explain that to them. And if I can't explain that to someone, to a newer kid, to a younger person, or anyone really, but especially to a younger person who's questioning, they're like, I'm pulling the thread on this thing, man. What, you know, why do we do this process in this way? If I can't explain it to a satisfactory degree, it's probably not a good practice.
I agree. I tell my team that all the time. Yeah, you ask me a question, I don't have an answer. We're going to stop doing that process.
Right. It's either I don't know it well. So that's always a risk with Lyle, right? There's a chance that I just don't know the thing. Right. Or the process is not well designed and we can improve it. And in which case you're like, listen, energetic human, let's get after it, right? I'll give you some guidance and focus, but yeah, you know, take that energy and really run with it. So that is that's a differentiator to me as if for a younger candidate coming into a position, right? Are you curious? Do you want to learn? Do you want to engage? Do you want to keep extending your career, right? That's lovely, right? I'm just going to lay here. I'm just going to stand here and have knowledge poured into me. No, man, I got no time for that.
I agree.
Nor temperament, honestly, right? I'm like,
well, that's me too, because I'm not a manager. I'm a leader. And I think managers do better at here's step one, here's step two. That is not Angela's style. I'm like, here's a problem. Let me know how you're going to solve it. And if you have any questions, I'm just a phone call.
That's right. Do the thing.
Do the thing. Figure out the thing. Let me know how you did the thing. But
if you get stuck, let me know.
Yeah. But I think what we're saying is that the similarities between the two polar opposites is you got to get big, you got to know what you want, and you got to go after it, right? Yeah. And that is whether or not you're a 20, 30-year vet or a 2-year youngin'. You got to get big. You got to know. You do what you do. You know what you know. Yep. And you broadcast that, but then you got to go after it and you got to be excited about it. And I think that those individuals that are like applying to 1700 positions and they don't care about 1700 positions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that may be just kind of an unfortunate nature of the marketplace right now with the volume of AI and things like that and all the applications. But I do agree that a common factor between both age groups, right? Interest, excitement. And you can show that in different ways. One thing I want to add to that, though, Angela, and I know I see Becky.
Becky's face. Becky wrap-up face.
I see Becky. I see you. So this will be a short Lyle. This will be a short Lyle story. I think that it's important for people to be aware of what they know. And as you mentioned, Angela, and own it. Hey, man, I know these things. I can do this, right? Also own what you don't know.
Thank you.
That, yes. I'm telling you, man. And this is – so young Lyle – was a bit of an arrogant jerk, not to put too fine a point on it, right? I had a lot of unearned male confidence. I would just bullshit. Oh, dude, I would bullshit my way through stuff. And so there's a much longer Lyle story about how this bit me in the butt. But basically, I think it's very, I had a lot of mentors at the time. They're like, listen, man, y'all got to cut that shit out. So I think it's very important for people to be honest with themselves about what they know. Cheerlead. Absolutely. Like you said, Angela, own what you know, embrace that, show how it's applicable. Be honest with what you don't know. And I think that's a potential learning opportunity or a potential growth opportunity for folks, right? They're like, they get asked questions like, you know what? I don't know a lot about that particular topic or about that process, but I'm going to learn about it, right? That's an answer that I can live with from a person or from a candidate. I'm like, yes, that's, you know, and to see them get revved up and start to learn more about that, I'm like, yep, that's, you know, I appreciate that level of intellectual honesty.
I love that too, because now I'm not going to worry about them making crap up in their home office where I can't see them.
I know
they're going to raise their hand if they don't know what they're doing.
Yep.
But you know, the follow-on question that I would ask is so what would you do to learn enough to be able to go execute that? And you need to have a good answer, right?
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Is there someone on your team that can teach me? Is not the right answer.
Wrong answer. Did you not just hear 10 minutes ago what Angela said? Come on, people. Pay attention.
It's about taking accountability for what you know and what you don't know.
Yeah. But right. So. And that's another good point, Angela, is that with remote people, right? Mm-hmm. When you're remote, you have to have hiring for remote positions. You have to have even more trust in that person. You have to have even more confidence in that person that they're going to do what they know. They're going to do what they know well. And if they don't know, they're not going to make crap up.
They're going to raise their hand.
That's right.
They're going to raise their hand and they're going to say, I'm at a point and I need some help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see that as one of the biggest positives. When I take reference calls with hiring managers who want to endorse somebody, one of the biggest things that they repeat over and over through the call is, well, if they didn't know, they let me know. They raise their hand. They're not afraid to ask questions. And that's not a negative for any youngins out there or any experienced folks.
I don't think that has an age difference. I mean, honestly, in my experience, the more seasoned a person is, the higher likelihood they're going to their way through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so to me, that a seasoned person who's like, yeah, you know, I don't know this and that. That to me, I'm like, that's a person who knows their shit. Right. Because they're like, I'm very comfortable with these, you know, where I'm at. I know I've got gaps. That to me is a level of self-awareness. I'm on board with that, man, for sure.
I agree too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what you said, you know, like, and then, hey, I'm going to learn. Here's my path to learn. Right, Angela, as you said, you know, and that's the second part of that. That needs to be the second part of that self-awareness.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I know there's a gap and this is what I'm going to go do to fill that gap.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that. I love hearing that.
That's perfect. You guys wrapped it up so well. I'm so sorry we have to end. We're out of time. But Lyle, please come back. We always love having you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You keep calling me, man. I'll keep coming. I'll keep showing up.
Well, thank you, Angela, as well. Thanks to everybody out there listening at CRA Resources. We understand you have so many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. Not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAResources.com for more information about our firm.